This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The November ballot will ask whether you support changing Illinois' income tax structure. Vote no on this question. The amendment would end the state's flat income tax rate, but it will not solve our state's fiscal problems. If enacted, the constitutional amendment would no longer require Illinois to have a flat tax, currently set at 4.95% for all Illinoisans. Instead, it would allow the state to enact a progressive tax. These rates would initially vary between 4.75% and 7.99% based on a household's income level. Revenue from this proposed progressive tax structure is unlikely to meet the state's projected deficits and debt obligations that are coming in the next few years. And until our state's politicians get their fiscal house in order, costs will continue to grow and all our taxes will continue to increase. The progressive tax would shift the taxing burden on the highest earners in the state, but raising taxes on the highest earners will not fix our state's financial problems and, in the long run, may only lead to higher taxes for all of us. It is a farce to think that the top 3% of Illinoisans will cover this additional multi-billion dollar increase in costs. If asked to do so, these top earners will simply shift assets out of state or will leave Illinois altogether. And when our state reaches that point, who else is there to be taxed? The other 97% of us. Additionally, we know most of the revenue from the progressive tax will be spent in two places: our state's exorbitantly high pension costs and debt obligations, and not spent, as proponents claim, on our public schools, social services, and public safety. Lawmakers have been digging themselves into pension and debt holes for decades, and now they expect us, the taxpayers, to pull them out. But we taxpayers did not create these problems. Lawmakers' poor policy decisions did. Taxes should not be raised on the folks that had nothing to do with the policy decisions that got us here. Adding to the already dismal financial situation is our state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The sudden, months-long halt of our state's economy means less tax revenue for the state as businesses are not open, workers are laid off, and consumers stay home. Ironically, proponents will claim these lower tax revenues will be used as further justification to support the progressive tax. Don't be fooled. This unexpected pandemic should not be used to advocate for a change in our Constitution. Now is not the time to enact a progressive tax in Illinois. The progressive tax will not solve our state's financial troubles and will, in the long run, lead to higher taxes for all of us. Let's tell our state lawmakers to get the state's finances in order before they come after ours by voting no on the constitutional amendment in November. The USDA, United States Trade Representative's Office, and the U.S. Department of Commerce are taking action to remedy damage caused to America's produce farmers by increased imports from other countries. USTR is requesting the International Trade Commission focus on blueberries. Imports of fresh fruits and vegetables have increased dramatically over the past 25 years, driving down prices for domestically grown produce. AFBF President Zippy Duvall testified about the concerns of produce farmers at a USTR hearing in August. He said, "We appreciate the work that has been done in recent trade deals to level the playing field for America's farmers and ranchers, but this investigation demonstrates there are still imbalances that must be addressed." Following a sharp downturn in many commodity prices following COVID-19, the Agriculture Department's most recent farm income forecast, released September 2nd, projects cash receipts from the sales of crops and livestock will decline by $12 billion, or 3%, from 2019 to $358 billion. If realized, U.S. farm cash receipts will be at the lowest level in more than a decade and $18 billion below the 10-year average of $376 billion. AFBF's Market Intel series has examined the impact that COVID-19 has had on livestock, beef, and pork markets over the course of the pandemic. Food production was significantly disrupted, especially at livestock processing facilities, where labor shortages and worker protection measures slowed throughout at plants around the country and even caused some facilities to temporarily shut down. As a result, there was a sharp increase in the wholesale value of beef and pork that coincided with a rapid decline in the value of live animals, creating a record live-to-cutout spread, which is the difference between the price that is paid for the live animal and the wholesale price of the processed animal product. During this disruption, one area that has received less attention is the spread between the price of beef and pork leaving the processing sector and the price that consumers pay at the grocery store. Part of the reason for this is the time lag between when prices are paid and when data becomes available for analysis. However, we now have several months' worth of data to examine and piece together a picture of the impact of COVID-19 on meat price spreads. A new look into the priorities for rural America of President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden is revealed in responses to a questionnaire distributed by the American Farm Bureau Federation. AFBF asked the Republican and Democratic candidates to respond with their stances on several topics directly affecting America's farmers, ranchers, and rural communities, including trade, labor, regulatory reform, and sustainability. President Trump's responses focus largely on his first-term accomplishments. He pledges a science-based approach to regulation going forward. He commits to addressing the rural-urban divide and emphasizes support for voluntary conservation programs. Former Vice President Biden's responses focus heavily on environmental sustainability and improving prosperity in rural communities. He, too, pledges to rely on experts and scientists when it comes to policies and regulation. He commits to rebuilding the middle class and working with farmers to achieve net zero emissions. The questionnaire includes 12 questions. In addition to the topics already noted, it covers food system resiliency post-pandemic, rural life and health, biotechnology, clean water, the Endangered Species Act, energy, taxes, and farm policy programs. The answers are presented as they were received, unedited, to give members an unfiltered look at each candidate's platform. AFBF has invited candidates from both parties to respond to election questionnaires for more than 40 years. The survey is available now on fb.org/election2020. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.